Gigantic. It is December 20th, 2023, and this is Gigantic Pop. I'm Glenn, joined by Matt Morgan, and we're waiting the entrance of NWO Friday Night Raj Geary, who's going to be joining us on a Wednesday. It's going to be exciting. He's had a few drinks, folks. He's got things to say, and he'll be along shortly. Matt's classing up the joint
tonight. I'm very, with my sweet outfit. Ready for me to declass the joint? Ready, folks? I've been drinking this Gatorade berry flavor that I really, really like, but watch this.
Like Liv Morgan, your sister.
My sister. This is my sister.
You got me that one time when I said something to Liv Morgan. You're like, oh, she's cool, my sister. And I was just like, wait, what? Oh, yeah. I was like, no.
I remember that. I totally remember that.
Because the problem is, as a host, you want to be agreeable, especially when you're covering a wrestling show, like a 3-hour Monday Night Raw, and you could tell me anything happened, and I would be like, yeah, and I'd be like, wait a second, aliens didn't show up and abduct R-Truth. That didn't actually happen. But you wonder, because 3 hours of Raw, man, like, you forget shit.
Yeah, very quickly. You do.
You know? But it's good. The blue tongue, it's good. You know, you're drinking Gatorade like a young person, like a young athlete.
But no longer the athlete part, but Matt the Animal Steel Morgan here.
Here's the thing we were talking about. So you have low niacin levels. You have to keep your blood sugar high. Mm-hmm. Like, folks, let me tell you, I feel like, you know, a good tenth of this podcast is just talking about getting old. I have to now, when I wake up, I have like hydration drinks, not a sponsor. I drink Noon. And it's like, okay, now I have my electrolytes. Now I can start. I got to ease into my day, because if I do too much too soon, then I'm going to get lightheaded after I wake up. I have to kind of start slow, eat something, you know, and then the day is ready to begin. But life wasn't always like this.
No, it was not. Remember, you just nip out of bed and go?
Yeah, and you like hop in the car, you know, just be like, ah, it's good. I'm fine. I can show up at school, being awake for 5 minutes. No one will notice.
Yes.
So Raj will bring himself on when he's ready. He's
right, Raj.
He's just pounding another 40 right now before he goes on the air.
Again, showing our age. 40?
Well, but he's old and classy, so it's a 40 of Pinot Grigio. You know?
Not OE. Remember Old English?
Oh, yeah. Dude.
No, seriously. Remember that? Like, when I remember seniors in high school that, like, you were cool, sadly enough. You were drinking for whatever reason. Like in my high school, 7-Eleven parking lot in Fairfield, Connecticut. I don't know why that was the spot, but
of course.
Weird reason it was. And for reason. It was always 40s. I don't know why,
Mickey's,
but it was.
Mickey's Big Mouth or Mickey's Beer. Yeah, that was good. St. Ides.
St. Ides. Oh, obviously. The Crook. Yes. The Crook. Yes.
Then they got into doing like fruit flavored malt liquors, and those were good. St. Ides Special Brew. Like, the drunkest I've ever been was off that. It tasted so good. Oh my God. And you know, there's a kombucha out there. This company called Synergy, it tastes exactly like St. Ides Special Brew.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I tried it, and I'm like, what does this remind me of?
I'm a big kombucha fan.
Yeah, this is, I mean, and you know, kombucha can get you drunk.
I didn't know that.
It's got alcohol in it. It's fermented.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Not all of it, but some of it does.
I swear to God, I never knew that part.
Okay, so making his way to the stage, we've got Friday night NWO Raj on a Wednesday. Damn.
Hang on. Dan, 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 dan. New world order.
Yeah, man. Okay. Can I go on a rant right now? Fucking hate Apple. Like, do you want to restart now? Yes. You're making me restart. None of my shit's coming up right now, you motherfucker. Restart my shit. Get it up. It's not coming up. Now I have to do this. Ugh. Fuck you, Apple. But I do own the stock. But so anyway. Fuck you.
Folks, tell me that was not the few minutes we just waited for that.
Raj, stabilize the camera here, man. Like
no, do not. Please, yeah, I'm gonna get sick. Giving this to us.
I'm gonna get motion sick. I can't.
All right.
Yeah.
So I've been watching, I watched a little bit of AEW Dynamite. I'm sickened with what they're doing with MJF.
He has become a neutered version of himself. It sucks to see.
He was the most entertaining guy in the business. Now he's just, you know, like kind of, he just kind of sucks. No, no, no.
Neutered,
I think that's what's hurting AEW right now. Like, I'm watching Dynamite. There is nothing gravitating me to that show. This Continental Classic, who gives a fuck? Like, what is...
Nobody.
Yeah. What, you get to be the ROH and New Japan strong champion? No one cares about those stakes. Okay. All right.
Wrong. So, okay. So... You're not wrong. As a guy that wrestled for actually all Japan, with 90% of this roster has not, or New Japan. There's a lot of great lineage within both of those companies.
Mm-hmm.
I get why Tony would try to tassel himself onto all Japan. Love Eddie Kingston because of his respect for all Japan, for the record. With all that said, the majority of a casual wrestling fan does not give a rat's you-know-what about any of that. Zero. So my question is always, what are we doing to draw mainstream, a.k.a. casual wrestling fans, to that show? Because that's what it's going to take to continue to make them grow. Other than that, if you're like, I'd be lying if I told you that as a wrestler, my former wrestler myself, I'm considered, I don't know what you want to consider me, but I would consider me somewhat of a smart fan, right? Because I wrestled.
You'd think, yeah.
You would think. So a lot of it I like in regards to the actual in-ring wrestling.
Yeah.
I'd be lying if I said I didn't. But I always try to think of it as the perspective of, this is a great company for my friends to wrestle in and make good money in if it doesn't work out with WWE. So I always think of it from that perspective, and I just worry about they're not trying to do things to attract the casual. That's all.
Yeah. That being said, the first Forbidden Door pay-per-view I thought was really awesome. Like, and going into it, I was like, oh, there's not enough build. This isn't going to get over with your average fan. But it was a great pay-per-view.
There wasn't, and part of it included a build with Punk, if you remember at the time.
Yeah.
But they still were able to pull it off. The pay-per-view itself was really good. But again, Glenn, that's because you're in the business. You cover the business.
Yeah.
Would it get that guy that used to watch Monday Nitro versus WWE Monday Night Raw back in the day? I don't think it would.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, like Tanahashi versus MJF. I'm not gonna run and tell a group of friends, and they're gonna be like, "Oh yeah, let's go do that." Rock versus, you know, anyone. Roman Reigns. They're gonna be like, "Yeah, let's go freaking do that."
Logan Raj, Paul. Wait a second. In 2023, Raj, what friends do you run and tell about a pay per view?
Actually, last year was the first year that I've had friends over for WrestleMania.
Wow.
I granted, it was not back in the 90s. We used to have like 20, 30 people over. Now it was, you know, it was like 8. But
for Mania?
For Mania. Okay. But still, it was, it was a party. We danced.
what'd you have? Foie gras and, you know, had it catered, you know, with servants.
Right. You know, it was like Coming to America.
Yeah. And then after dinner, you were like, we're going to hunt the servants now just for sport.
Yeah. It stinks so good.
Can I take a side note here just because people are like, just in case, because of me being insecure at the moment, Glenn and Raj, look at this. I've been drinking Gatorade too, and I feel like everyone's going to think I'm George Animal Steele for drinking it tonight because of my stupid tongue and my teeth have gotten blue. So my apologies.
It's okay. But with AEW, so we don't know who the devil is. We're waiting to figure that out.
Still not.
Do you guys care at this point? Like, have they gone too long with this thing?
Can I say if it is Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, I am along for the ride. That's the only payoff I will take because it will include Adam as well.
I feel like, you know, when you have a storyline that's going this long, gonna have twists and turns along the road. You know, like with the bloodline, you had Sammy getting his t-shirt. You know, you had the ups and downs.
It's true.
This is just like it's just been leveled for a long time. Like it just hasn't had the pits and rises like you need for a successful storyline. It's the Black Scorpion, unless there's a huge payoff.
Hashtag Black Scorpion fans, younger fans, look that up because he's not too far off with that, by the way.
What if the payoff is that it's Hornswoggle on the shoulders of two small boys in a suit?
I'll take that.
That would be amazing.
I love Swoggle.
He's great. Played blackjack with a man in Vegas once.
What if it was Vince McMahon on a laptop?
Could be Shane, you know.
Shane.
Yeah.
Who's calling somebody right now? Get your phone off.
Raj, what the hell?
Microphone.
Shit, hold on. Sorry. Be right back.
Raj's personal massager just goes off at the most inopportune moments.
My shoulders are fine.
The royal toes are massaged, Your Highness.
I don't know. I think that it's a strange time for wrestling. This is the first week in a while where I think CM Punk's just chilling at home, celebrating the holidays.
Matt, you said he was doing commentary on that MMA event, right?
That's right.
Punk?
Yeah.
Yeah. Punk.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up. I think it lessens him. If I'm WWE, and I know you got to be careful with what you tell Punk because if they're rebellious and all that other good stuff, but at the same token, I would tell him, hey, look, dude, we'll pay you whatever you need to no longer commentate on this Z-rated MMA show that you're on because it jabrones you. It jabrones us if we're going to put you in a main event scenario. We get you're passionate about it, and that's cool. But yeah, while you're with us, yeah, dude, you're not doing that shit no more. Sorry.
Yeah, it's a you're either the A grade or you're out.
Yeah, it makes him lesser than. I hate to say it. I'm not proven in the last few weeks. I'm a huge mark for him. I'll admit it. But I just huge fan of what he's done for this business. But I just this lessens him. It just absolutely does. If you're gonna go into WrestleMania and try to get fans to pay top dollar to see him versus Seth Rollins, just my two cents, especially speaking to casual fans again that haven't watched the business in a few years, that are going to be attracted to quote-unquote real-life storylines, perceptively, then you need to get them off that. Because the Rage in the Cage, dude, are you ribbing me? That's some Z-level MMA. You're better than that. Get the hell off that, dude.
And on weekends,
Conor McGregor commentating on Impact. No offense to Impact, but
take that back right now as a former TNA wrestler. Take it back, Raj Geary.
NWA.
There you go.
Well, on weekends, you know, maybe CM Punk will commentate on some high school football games, you know, just really work to sharpen his booth skills, you know?
Terrible.
Like, actually, if I was Punk, I'd make that my thing and be like, can I get a commentary on the Westminster Dog Show? Can I get that while we're at it? You know? Maybe a cornhole championship on ESPN3.
And listen to me. It might seem like a small thing to many people, but I'm just talking, you know, details. Perception is reality, especially in the world of WWE. I'm surprised they didn't nip that in the bud with him.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. I mean, in general, like, there is a reason why WWE never gets involved with, like, D-level celebrities. I don't know. Stephen Amell, I don't know what level he was at when he did that SummerSlam match.
He was a B. He was a solid B.
He was a superhero, yeah.
But in general, they usually do, like, A-level stuff. Like, it's usually Mike Tyson.
Or Jon Stewart when Jon Stewart was relevant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's not like, J-WoW. They're doing Snooki. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
They're getting the A person.
Yes, I guess Snooki. Well, maybe the situation was number one, but Snooki is a solid 1.5 on the Jersey Shore.
She was the biggest star in that show, right?
To put it in perspective, we had Ronnie on TNA Impact. Just pointing that out. Yeah.
Oh my God. It's so weird how WWE, but now the problem is WWE's demo is like 50 year olds and they get these celebrities.
Now that's bullshit.
Okay. But my point stands though, that they get these celebrities, like who the F is Jelly Roll or some of these people that they have on there.
I raised my hand for Jelly Roll. I didn't know Jelly Roll.
Yeah. Or that Hardy guy, that country artist,
Jeff Hardy.
No, I think his name's Hardy.
It's the same name as Jeff Hardy, and I didn't know who he was either.
Yeah. So they get these acts, and it's just like, can we go back to having Fozzy do the theme for a pay-per-view? What about when you get Metallica? Like, WWE is amazing sometimes at rubbing elbows with top-tier talent, and other times it's just people that make you feel old because you have no clue who they are, why they're famous.
Or we're out of touch.
Yeah. Well,
there are no mainstream celebrities anymore. You have it's not like, you know, when we were talking about Michael Jackson a few weeks ago, like how we grew up with him. There is no Michael Jackson that everyone knows.
Taylor Swift.
Now you got people that are like,
Taylor Swift.
Mr. Beast is the shit. Or
Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift. You know, like it's so fragmented.
But like, everybody knows Taylor Swift.
Okay, that's the one.
No, I think just Jennifer Lawrence, Bradley Cooper. Like, there are people that everybody knows.
Bradley Cooper is not known. He's not like Sylvester Stallone was in the 80s, that everyone knows who he is.
Chris Pratt.
Nope.
Not Sylvester Stallone in the 80s.
No, but I mean,
Stallone, Schwarzenegger, there is no one like that now.
Yeah. Yeah, perhaps. It's a different time.
Like Prince, Michael Jackson. Taylor Swift is the only one that's really like that. Universal, like it's just so fragmented. You just don't have Hulk Hogan. You don't like. Fucking skewered last year when I said John Cena wasn't a household name like Hulk Hogan was because he's not.
Because he's not. With respect, he's close, but he's not. So I'll give you the example.
Yeah.
When I talk into different worlds that I'm now involved in, no longer part of wrestling, and folks. I try to explain what pro wrestling is if they have no clue what I'm talking about. It's always, if I can explain Hulk Hogan, they get it. Some of them will say, like, what John Cena does. So, like, he is the modern-day Hulk Hogan without question.
And The Rock.
But not to the level. Even The Rock, these people know him from movies now.
Yeah.
They don't know him as much. I'm talking about, non-casuals.
Yeah.
He's there, but he's not. He's still not Hulk.
Yeah.
He's Chris Pratt.
But no, I think there was, iconography was different in the 80s because, you had your Michael Jackson's Prince, Madonna, Pee Wee Herman, Hulk Hogan. Mm-hmm.
Like larger than life. But because you had so few channels, it transcended everything.
Yeah.
Madonna, everything.
All those names you just said, Glenn, just iconic, huge, beyond household names.
No, it's different. But that's why if you are a draw in wrestling, now is the time. Charlotte Flair, who's unfortunately out with injury, reportedly got the highest paying deal a female in WWE has ever gotten to re-sign. And Mercedes Moné, formerly known as Sasha Banks, apparently wants more money than that to sign with WWE or AEW.
Go get it. Go freaking get it, girl. I hope she gets it.
Hope so too. What do you think? If swag
character, we say we always want character development. That girl's got it in spades. Like in spades, she has it. And she's not big. If you walk past her in the airport, she's very short. She does not look like somebody like, wow, that's somebody, that's a kick-ass pro wrestler. Like she's not 6 foot, she's not 5'11, she's not big and muscular. That's how impressive she is with her character because doesn't matter. When she comes out to the ring, you buy her act. I don't care who the hell you are. You watch her once, you'll buy her act.
Yeah.
So that's so hard to come by, especially today when everybody knows wrestling's a work, but you buy her stuff. So I pray she gets that because she's earned it.
Yeah.
So I got to say this.
Even though she bought off the blueprint gimmick for a few months there, but continue. Sorry.
Which, by the way, Matt, her fan base didn't like us pointing out that you were the blueprint first.
Oh, I wasn't there. It didn't happen. I was never a wrestler. They're correct.
You guys know. I mean, I was the one that broke the Sasha news last year when she was released and all that.
I've been on the Sasha fan wagon forever. But do you, this is might make some people's heads explode, but do you think she's maybe a little overrated? Like, she might make a difference for a week or two, and then everything's back to normal. Is she really making a difference? AEW, maybe, because they're okay. All right.
The opinions of Raj Giri do not necessarily reflect those of Matt Morgan or Glenn Rubenstein or Gigantic Pop.
So continue. Blue Tongue Morgan over here is gonna, I will say this, Raj. I see what you're saying, and I will raise you one. I was with, again, I'll remind the folks, put the asterisk where Matt repeats the same story again from back in TNA when we had Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, RVD, Jeff Hardy, Ken Anderson. Are you ribbing me? All in the same night show up, and it hardly boosted our ratings on Spike TV. And so I will go with saying, I don't care who the wrestler is, especially in today's day and age, it is damn near impossible to get them to spike a rating or make some sort of importance to those ratings. It can't be just be one talent. It has to be the booking of the whole company with storylines, you know, from top to bottom. It cannot just be you are going to rely on one, like, messiah to come in, as far as pro wrestling super duper star goes, to change your show. It's impossible as far as ratings goes. It's impossible. I watched it.
But CM Punk, I think, has proven that you can own the narrative. You can own the news cycle for... You know, I mean, CM Punk, it's going to be going into January. So if they bring back Mercedes as Sasha and they get that coverage, if it's all that
gossip. That's a different ballgame. I thought we're talking about her going to, like, a different company. I didn't know we're talking about her going back to WWE.
And
WWE, I will agree that absolutely that would bolster stuff.
And I hate to say this. This is a weird thing to say, but I think AEW fans know this in their heart when it comes to TK signing former WWE talents. He gets that initial pop. He owns the cycle for 72 hours. You get to the next Dynamite. And if that storyline isn't white hot, they don't have something to put him into, like, it dies down really quick. WWE, like with CM Punk, they're coming back. They already had that storyline with Seth set from his debut. It's going to carry on. If Sasha comes back, it's not going to just be return pop and then let it trickle out. They're going to bring her back and get her into something hot, especially now that Charlotte's out. You know, there's a vacancy. At the top of the women's division.
Seriously, that's a good point, what you just said. I agree with that.
You know? I mean, they're going to really invest in her. That's the difference. Tony Khan likes to acquire talent. WWE, even at the top, invests in it.
And say, hey, former WWE superstar so-and-so is here this week, and they bury WWE, or maybe they don't. But then 3 weeks later, the luster has gone by. Like, they don't care anymore.
Yeah, and he's onto something new, you know?
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate.
It is. That's why it's so important not to make, like, on, especially on camera, big to do about, oh my God, this is a former, do you know who this is? This is, and TNA used to do it all the time, by the way, my company. I used to hate it. Don't make such a big deal that they were former WWE anything. Make them come to AEW, and, like, in fact, it should be the opposite. Like, can they hang with these talents? Can they hang with these young, athletic as hell, in-ring studs that will work circles around a WWE superstar? Like, they should be putting it over like that when these WWE guys go, like, there, but they don't.
WCW. This is where the big boys play.
There you go.
Let me ask, on that point, who would you say is the biggest star that AEW has created outside of MJF?
I mean...
with no WWE involvement?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Oh, DMD, Dr. Britt Baker.
She hasn't had a promo in a year.
Don't be quoting her tweets to use against me here right now.
It's true.
Her, though, I would say before they put her in this storyline, that's obvious that she's going to be the devil. She's a star. She's a dentist office, like where I'm from in Central Florida. She's a pretty big to-do. Like,
and Matt, if that blue won't come off your teeth or your tongue... that's where you go.
To go to.
Yeah.
Well, come on. There's got to be more guys. Come
Darby.
Oh, there we go. Darby Allin. I thought Sammy Guevara. I don't know what they're doing with him. You can't say Sammy can't be. Like, if WWE had him, you can't. Like, they would make him a star.
I'll give them credit for Toni Storm, even though she came from WWE.
Okay, no. AEW deserves credit for Toni Storm because WWE screwed up with her, floundered her, had a pie in her face. Good job, WWE, with that. And she's running circles around that company right now, laughing at them to the bank, saying, look what you could have had, you idiots. And I love her gimmick. I love Timeless Toni Storm. Good call, Glenn.
But I think AEW, this is where it gets weird, and this is where WWE had, even with the Time Warner connection with AEW, with Warner Brothers Discovery, WWE says we can do more to establish your star power through charity work, media appearances on the morning shows. You know, AEW, MJF gets a nice morning appearance on New York media when they go and promote Arthur Ashe or something, but AEW does not have the global entertainment platform, and I'm sorry, but with TKO and being partnered with William Morris Endeavor, like one of the biggest agencies in all of Hollywood.
William Morris is.
Yeah, WWE could do much more to make you a star beyond wrestling. You know, or even elevate you. Their platform is bigger, and I'm sorry. And that's the crazy thing, though, because Tony Khan has connections. You know, even when they were doing that cheesy shit like the Rick and Morty crossovers and whatnot, like why aren't they doing more of that? Oh, Orange Cassidy also, although he came pre-cooked.
Oh,
Orange Cassidy was Orange Cassidy from day one in AEW.
And on the Indies. But it was a national platform, so you got to give credit to him for that character on AEW. There's others that we're leaving out. I'm sure our fans will fill us in on this because there are some others.
Sure.
But this company's been around how long? 4 years? Five?
Just over 4 years on TV.
So keep that in mind. Okay, we do have to keep that in mind. Just one last thing is. When you guys are ready, let me know when you want to talk about Tony Khan's tweets again, because that's my favorite subject.
Well, okay.
Permission to speak freely.
Uh-oh.
Yes. All aboard, sir.
Okay. AEW has not created a real star outside of MJF. I'll give them that. And they have weakened him to the point where he seems like a total afterthought. Like he's no longer worth watching.
Like,
he's not. No, he's still worth watching because his promos, he can make these fans chant whatever he tells them to chant. I know what you're saying. He's not. I agree with you. He's not as interesting or as powerful as he was as a heel and being one of the last dying breeds of somebody that lived and breathed his gimmick in real life and making people try to hate him. I agree with that. I think it's been a mistake turning him face. I think
that was good.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say that's the one star that they have. Like,
I agree.
Adam Cole, maybe. Maybe.
Huge star, though. He's not just a star. He's my favorite wrestler today. I love him over any WWE wrestler, if I'm being honest.
But if you're not watching AEW TV each week, you don't know who these people are. Whereas with WWE, there are casuals. You know, I mean, there are people, I've met many, many folks and see many people online. They're like, oh, I like Sasha Banks. I like Becky Lynch. Do you watch WWE each week? No, but I love
perspective. My neighbor thinks Braun Strowman is the coolest thing since sliced bread. Like, no offense to Braun. He's not been on TV in quite a hot minute.
Yeah, he's been interesting.
Right? So like, you're right. But that's not fair because you're comparing a company that's been in business for 3,000 bazillion years versus a company that's been in business for four.
But if you want to compete, though, this is what I'm saying. Tony Khan needs to get real about, like, cross-media synergy. I mean, Vince McMahon, for the many things that he's done wrong, personally and professionally, he understood and said, and people made fun of him with his, you know, I'm in the movie business. He's in the entertainment business. He's been upfront about that. Tony Khan runs a wrestling company.
Okay.
And there is a show.
What's that?
There's a shelf life to running a wrestling company because there's only a certain number of wrestling fanatics that are out there.
It's true. It's true.
And here's another thing I don't see AEW doing. WWE could say CM Punk had the most social moment of all time. Oh my God, Dominic Mysterio attacking Rey on Thanksgiving. That got 100 million views. You know, AEW's not creating these viral moments. Not on that level.
Well, getting rid of people like Kevin Sullivan and other backstage, very talented individuals is not going to help them get there, by the way.
Yeah.
It's just weird. Tony, it's weird because as ratings have fallen, as attendance has fallen, Tony has almost doubled down on wrestling quality. Like it's now, you know, like I, you know, when I brought up the Continental Classic, I don't give a fuck who wins this tournament.
Well, go, no offense, Raj, go on his Twitter and he'll tell you every match. This is awesome. Chance warranted. Dude, you should not be on Twitter saying that. Vince McMahon would not be caught dead saying that. Neither would Triple H.
Disco Inferno.
Stop being a mark, Tony. Stop being a mark.
And Disco Inferno, what did he tweet the other day? And it's like, why are you going out of your way to acknowledge something that a lot of people feel? I mean, if you feel Disco Inferno is a troll, whatever.
Well, don't amplify him.
So, all right, DK. All right. So DI is entertaining. Like the Disco is funny at times, right? At times. With that said, imagine like you're just getting kicked and kicked and kicked while you're down and just kicked and kicked. And the last person that comes up to kick you is Disco. So part of me sees why Tony would feel the way he would. With that said, Tony, stop flipping selling for everybody on Twitter. You sell for everybody and their mother. Stop. Whether it's a former wrestler, whether it's not, please, sir, stop. You're hurting your own company. You're jabroning your company in the interim by doing so. And you're taking these little millimeter steps backwards doing that. You're Tony flipping con. You helped bring a brand new company to our business that was very much needed. And what in the world? Raj, what are you doing?
My computer will not start, so I'm on my phone this whole time.
Okay, okay. Oh. I was making sure that you were still with us. Okay.
This is Cribs Friday Night Raj edition.
Cribs. Seriously, this is...
There we go, Raj.
This is what's going on.
Yay.
I switched to Xfinity. Fuck you, Xfinity. That's all I got to say. All right, let's go.
Take that, Xfinity. You don't mess with Raj Gary again and get away with that. But my listen to me really quick, guys. My point is like, Tony, please stop. You're not helping the boys or the girls in your company by being so thin-skinned. Are you kidding me? I get blamed as an elected official when it rains out. That's my job. I got to take it. Shut up and just take it. And be like, yep, you're right. It is my fault. I should have had a bigger umbrella for the whole city of Longwood. What was I thinking? You have to have it. You have to play it that way. Because people, we live in a day in society where people want to complain about things. You have to be willing to eat it, even though it's not your fault. That's just how it works.
Dixie Carter, I can't recall ever going off on a single wrestler.
Good point. I never thought of that, actually. Yeah, you're right, actually.
It's even Bischoff. I mean, granted, it was a different time, but...
But even in the little AOL chat rooms he was in, he'd get a little snipey, but it wasn't nothing like this.
Yeah, it's kind of... And this is true of elected officials on both sides of the aisle. This is certainly true for people that run companies. Like... Do what you're good at and what serves the will of the people, be it your customers or constituents. Do not spend all your time on social media.
And get out of the way. That's it. Yeah. Stop. Get out of the way after that.
You know, as Black Flag said, rise above. Don't get into it when everybody wants to toss shit your way on social media. No. Like, let them vent, ignore it, block liberally if you need to. Just to keep yourself sane, but diving into the mud here is not making you look good. It's right. Having the opposite effect, and it's letting everybody know you're easy to get a rise out of.
That is getting to you. And look, this guy put a lot of his family's money into this, so I get the emotional investment and being frustrated. Like, are you kidding me? You spoiled you know what? I just brought you a brand new wrestling company that wasn't in existence until I made it happen. Yeah. You spoiled you know what? So part of me gets that part of it too. But Tony, if you're like a supposed super fan and was doing these online matches back when you were a young, you know, boy, and now you're making your dream a reality on whatever the hell it's called, then like you got to be able to take this part of it. Stop listening. Don't go on Twitter then. Just take a week off from time to time. Have somebody go open your Twitter account and post the, you know, AEW matches coming up for that week or things you want to advertise. But you stay off of it if you can't resist. Like replying to people that don't agree with your vision. Because if you go up and down his Twitter, it's nonstop. Like I said, this is awesome chance warranted for this match. It's go up and down. You'll see what I'm talking about. It's every freaking match. And like, okay, you should be your company's biggest cheerleader. It's your company. But like, let others do it for you. There's so much more power, Tony, in others doing your cheerleading for you other than you. Let's say it's basketball. That'd be like Michael Jordan going, like putting on a cheerleading outfit in the middle of a halftime show and start getting Chicago going crazy for the Chicago Bulls. That would be bizarre, wouldn't it? A little bit of a homer, wouldn't we agree? Yes.
I think that's the sequel to Juana Man, where he goes and cheers himself on at halftime.
But do you know what I mean? Like he can't, you, Tony, you can't be your biggest cheerleader in this circumstance. Let others do it for you. Cause there are others that will do it for you. Just shut up, get out of the way and let them do it for you. Including your own talents, by the way, get out of the way, showcase them, please.
I'm a big fan of Tony Khan, because I do feel like he has created the first workspace for a legitimate, living for pro wrestlers. Since WCW,
definitely,
you know, TNA for sure, some,
but not multi-millionaires like AEW's done,
right? Yeah, and I just feel like, man, he gets caught into these circles where it's just like you're looking like an ass when you're replying to this, when you're doing this, you clearly are not on this level.
Yeah, he's above it. He's supposed to be up here. He's supposed to be way up here.
Yeah, and he's WWE, Triple H.
Is be caught dead.
Would not be caught dead.
No way.
Right? I mean, Triple H is busy doing his job. I mean, tweets, but not like this.
Not going off on Disco Inferno at a left field. Again, I'm not defending Glenn, but. The Disco, rather, but you know what I mean? Like, come on. Triple H would punch himself in the face if he ever wasted a tweet on Disco.
Yeah, I mean, I would
like Val Venus, you have been being mean, you motherfucker. You know, it would be like every, you know, like what kind of mockery would that be?
HBK apparently has people who do those tweets for him. Like, it's not HBK. Yeah.
Really?
That's what I heard. That's not
HBK,
him.
I didn't know he had Twitter.
He blocked me. Like, he's blocked
HBK
a lot of people.
HBK has blocked
him. Yeah, but wait, someone else runs his Twitter.
So you cannot speak from experience. You're speaking from a point of hatred, Glenn Rubenstein.
No, I've seen it. I talked to somebody this week, and I said to them, this was,
been blocked by HBK.
I said, I've been blocked by HBK, and they said I was too, but it turns out somebody else runs his Twitter. Like, it's not him.
Okay.
All right.
The reason?
Because he's busy. He's an important person. He shouldn't have time to do all that.
Yeah. And everyone has been blocked by HBK, Tony Schiavone, and Edge. So go check your Twitter accounts. Chances are you're blocked by two out of three.
Interesting. Really? Edge too, huh?
Maybe not mad.
JBL blocked me.
No way.
Maybe we're friends back in the day.
Yeah. No, you know what it is, Matt? So here, I'll tell you exactly what it is. Somebody posted like some mean thing about JBL and like probably tagged me and tagged Raj and a bunch of other wrestling media. And then JBL. Yeah. And they just blocked everybody in the thread.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, listen, man, I love me some JBL, and as much ish as he gave others back in the day, he of all people should have some very thick skin to be able to take some commentary every once in a while.
Well, Raj, he probably blocked you because you're getting in on his financial advice racket. So, you know.
Absolutely. You know what, man? Fucking the market. Did you see that? The sell-off? Almost 2%?
I mean, whatever. It'll come back. No. It's end of year also. People are cashing out, taking losses, taking gains.
I'm not. I dollar cost average.
Diamond hands.
You know what? Me and my wife were watching Christmas Vacation the other night. Have you guys? I don't know the last time you've seen it. And I was saying that might be the best part three of all the movies of all time, except for Rocky III.
It's a tough argument to make, especially because you give credit to Rocky III, which it deserves.
Yeah.
I'd have to think about that. I just can't off the top of my head say yes or no.
Predator 3? Predator 3 is pretty dope.
Bullshit.
Are you out of your mind?
Predator 3 is amazing. Have you watched Predator 3?
No. It's not as, like,
they're on the planet in Trejo and Adrian Brody. Like, Predator 3 is awesome.
But you're putting in Rocky 3 and
the whole series itself is.
Yeah, Last Crusade, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade Part 3. That's pretty good.
That's good.
Lethal Weapon 3, not as good as 2, but still pretty solid.
No.
No,
Raj, you got to give me to the next podcast to come up with something.
Jedi, maybe?
Jedi, which is pretty good.
I'm not a big Star Wars fan, but yeah, I could see a Star Wars fan saying that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jedi's
give me more time. Give me to the next
podcast. Wait a second. Wait. Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors.
Boom!
Yeah. That's the best Part 3 of all time.
Nightmare on Elm Street 3 is better than the Christmas Vacation.
Yes.
As far, hang on, let's rewind this. As far as a third act in a movie series goes, importance to its series. Yes.
Yeah.
If you give me a choice between to watch that movie, Raj, or watch, obviously, Christmas Vacation. It's Christmas Vacation, obviously. Mm. But importance to the actual franchise.
But Dream Warriors is amazing. Dream Warriors is the closest. I mean, up until the X-Men movie, it was the closest thing to an X-Men movie or a comic book movie like that we'd ever gotten up to that time.
Honestly, my screen is still not coming up. So do we have comments or?
Yeah, we do. Wait, but Captain America 3 Civil War, that's also pretty dope.
Oh, God. Is that a superhero movie of some sort?
Yes. Wait, you guys didn't see Cap? Okay, wait. Well, time asking.
Don't miss a super chat. It's people trying to.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
First Captain America, it's okay. Second Captain America, The Winter Soldier, great film, political thriller. Third one, it's got like every superhero in it, and they're fighting each other. It's incredible. Okay, super chats. Jimmy MT91 with $1 super chat. Thank you. We appreciate it. Drexel also with a $1 super chat. Thank you. Then. Bigfoot Sneakerhead, $4.99. What's up? Saying, love this podcast. Please do this live one day. Raj, shots are on me, and Hulk Hogan is the Michael Jackson of wrestling.
Ooh.
In both ways, he means that, I feel. He's not too far off. No, in regards of being controversial, at the same time being the GOAT.
One of us has been in the ring with Hulk Hogan.
Take those off right now, Glenn.
One of us is actually... worked with Hulk Hogan, and one of us actually knows Hulk Hogan. So, you know.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
We got, you guys reading these other comments in here about the third movies?
I will say it, but Dylan Matthews, Australian $7.99, saying the super chat is donated to get Raj a better computer.
Raj has top-notch computer. It ain't his computer.
All right. I'm going to switch my fucking internet. Hold on.
Okay. Harris Gallis saying American Pie 3. That was good. American Wedding. That's solid. Beer Why Money is look? Saying... Lord of the Rings, Toy Story, both have great third movies. Also, Thor Ragnarok is pretty incredible.
Underrated and good movie. Yeah. Time out. Are we watching Ron is marching around his house? What's he going to do, Glenn? Is he going to pull the wires out? What's he going to do?
Stellar Justin right Lopez says Die Hard with Vengeance 3. Die Hard with a Vengeance. Also a good part 3 as well.
Where'd he go?
I'm here.
Dylan Matthews saying I'm a drunk Raj Mark. I'll save Drexel's for when Raj gets back on camera.
Love you, Raj.
Comment. Shit's on.
Okay. It's exciting.
I hate Xfinity. It's not coming on. All right.
Okay. We'll figure this out. Yeah. Friday the 13th, 3, Cody Snyder. It's an interesting call. Jason did get the hockey mask in that one. It was in 3D. I miss when every 3 was a 3D.
This is the... You know what? I started watching Back to the Future Part 3.
Oh, also, yeah. Yeah.
Sucked. It was actually...
Wait, what? Fuck you. Back to the Future 3 is amazing.
No, it was way worse than Part 2.
Okay, the second half of Part 2 is great. The first half of Part 2 in the future is just dumb. Except for the hoverboard. That rules.
The Part 2 in the second half, how they tie it in.
Yeah, it's great.
All right. Okay.
I can't do it.
I'll have to figure it out tomorrow.
Dylan Matthews, I'm wearing a suit because that's what I have to wear for my job every day. And I didn't get a chance to get out of it before we did our podcast tonight. So I look like whatever.
Do you have to get those custom made completely or do they just tailor it from a big and tall store?
In the beginning, when I was a wrestler, that's what I did. Big and tall and fat, and then had them bring the jacket in, right? But now they're more affordable to be able to get them tailored to fit your actual body. Yeah.
Drexel $5 saying, Raj, you've been speaking the absolute truth tonight. AEW has no real stars and MJF has been watered down, which takes away his entire appeal.
God, I hate saying that. He's my favorite wrestler today. And I hate saying that. They're not wrong in a certain... It sucks. I agree.
Can you argue, Glenn?
Huh?
I know Matt agrees with me.
What? What? What are you asking?
Do you agree?
Yeah, I think... MJF. Yeah, it's...
AEW not making its own stars.
Tony Khan thinks this is like the Fast and the Furious series, where Jason Statham could be the bad guy in one movie and then friends with everyone at the cookout in the next.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that with MJF, that shouldn't be the case. Like, you need to keep... Not everyone needs to become your relatable buddy at one point to humanize them, at least not at this stage in his career.
Not yet.
You know?
He was able to put us all, every wrestler included, former wrestler included, put us in this time capsule and go back to the 80s in which heels were really heels and the fans couldn't tell if what they were doing was real or not.
Mm-hmm.
And they believed it. Like, he was doing this in 2022. Like, with social media where everybody's up, you know, your butt with cameras and see what you're doing in real life and everybody knows the truth. And he still was able to pull that carpet out from everybody and being a true heel. And I just for that perspective, I hate that they have him doing the babyface stuff at the moment. I got to be honest. If he was around and that's how he's introduced, I would still say he's doing a great job with it. That said, it's not as good, though, as what he was doing as a heel is all I'm saying.
But here's the great thing about MJF, though. At any moment, he could say it was all a work. That fiance, I hired her. She's an actress. Those kids hired them. Yeah.
I pray for it. I hope for it. They need it to happen.
Because right now he's like, hey, like, yeah. You know, like he's fucking crying, whining all the time. He's turned into a whiny bitch. Right? And it's like, that's not what the fans got into you for. Right? Like, when he was literally, you know, he was crying a couple of weeks ago, which, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, but people loved MJF because he had that edge. He had that Roddy Piper edge in today's society.
And as a heel, got major things over as somebody like myself that grew up in special education because I had ADHD back in the 80s when they just grouped you in one special education class. Mm-hmm. Him talking about that as a heel and getting sympathy, talking about being bullied for being Jewish, anti-Semites out there in the world and things of that nature that he touches, and he was able to do it as a heel and still get massive attention on very important subjects, he'd glimpse that baby face line and then go right back to pulling the carpet out and saying suckers. And oh my God, it was so, that's why he's my favorite wrestler in today's wrestling. He just is. I'm prayful he goes back to that.
Yeah.
He kind of sucks as a baby face. I hate
he doesn't suck. Hang on. He doesn't suck. He just, we know it's not his strength. We want to see him be like Roddy Piper. When he became a baby face, it was cool when he had his mullet, right? And he was on commentary with Vince and like, who the hell is this dude? Where's this guy crapping on Hulk Hogan? I want to see that part. Like, it's the same. It's very, very similar.
But Piper was cool as a baby face. Like,
did you really think so? You didn't think? I thought he was kind of cool. Not, I hate to say it because it's sacrilege in today's day and age of pro wrestling, but I didn't think it was as cool as it was when he was, you know, hitting coconuts over the head with like Snuka and doing all these like really incredibly very pushy type of things as a dicky heel to make everybody want to burn him alive at the stake.
I'd argue that Piper was still cool until like 1995. When he started getting super nuts, where you couldn't
when he got back WCW,
yeah, then
okay, it was, I can see that,
yeah, then it was just okay. I don't know what you're saying, you're just all over the place. But I thought Piper was cool, like Macho Man is a heel. When he turned babyface, he maintained his coolness, right? Like, he didn't become. He wasn't crying. I never saw Macho Man cry. Hey, by the way, here we go.
There you go. Macho Bobble.
All time great. He could do heel babyface. He never could. I don't know.
He could.
I just felt like.
But.
Gearing off into lame stratosphere.
We need to be careful because Macho was doing that in a day and age in which people thought wrestling was still semi-real.
Like, yeah.
This dude's doing it when everybody knows it's a work and he still made everybody like hate his guts and hope he dies as a heel, yeah. Which is why he's my favorite wrestler.
That was because incredible.
In my opinion, as a heel myself in my day, it's impossible to make them legit hate your guts and hope you die.
Yeah.
Because they know it's a work.
2K Universe Elite with a super chat saying CM Punk sales are popping. It's true. It's something like, what, $600,000 in merch in like the first week or something? The funny thing is the dude would have stayed retired if it wasn't for AEW.
Yes.
And he would have stayed in AEW if it wasn't for the biggest heel in all of AEW, which is Jungle Jack Perry.
Unlike you putting my Groucho Marx glasses on, I stamp what you just said, Raj. I'm sorry, Glenn. I stamp it, Glenn.
Yes.
Hey, if Jungle Jack Perry was released and went to WWE, do you think their merch sales would have jumped up 300% or whatever it was with CM Punk?
I don't. The problem, Jack Perry. I mean, honestly, for his career, this is better than him just being handsome Jack Perry. And them trying to do him, present him as a baby face and have him out there. Him coming back as a heel now and being like, I'm young, I'm talented, I do whatever the F I want. If people don't like it too bad, I'm here. He went to another company. I think him coming back as a heel, I mean, and he's still a contender for the devil. That might be smart. This could be the best thing for his career, or at least he could play this hand that he's been dealt, you know?
Okay, so time out. Shout out to our girl, Ebony Washington. Hi, Ebony.
Yeah.
Really quick, like, it's going to take a lot more than that, Glenn, because, oh my God, look, folks, look at your camera. Look at Roz Gary's camera. Look at it. Look at it. Let's enjoy this all in its luster. Yes, we just saw feet. I'm pretty sure we saw feet.
Oh, that's good. Yes. Go on feet Instagram.
No matter. Never delete any of this.
Okay, foot fetishists, go back to that timestamp, 52:30. Yes.
All right, so listen really quick. No one see your toe jam.
You gotta exfoliate that stuff, Raj. Get one of those shavers. Get some intense moisture treatments.
I gotta say this, Matt. Go ahead.
No. I'm listening.
I still felt like Jack Perry should have been fired.
Yes. No shit.
You don't disrespect a veteran like that on camera. You don't do that shit.
Duh.
And the fact and that's what happened.
No, this is what happens with all friends wrestling. That's exactly what this is exactly par for the course. And by the way, the internet was like on Jungle Jerkoff's side, if you remember, in rewind time. Now they're all eating crow while this cat is making bank with your rival. You had the one guy, you clowns, that was never going back to WWE ever.
Ever.
You literally gift wrapped at him and say, here you go. Not once, but twice. You could have made bank off of that storyline. But because I'm scared for my life in the gorilla position. Number one, stop calling it the gorilla position. It's an insult to Gorilla Monsoon. Don't you dare call that the gorilla position. Number two, it's a wrestling business. You really, what was he going to do? Drop kick you, Tony, with your headphones on producing the show? What was CM Punk going to do?
You've seen his MMA career. How afraid could you really be?
Yes, that too. That too. Come on, man. Like, it's so frustrating because Raj, they had a golden opportunity to take something and make a lot. I will even say it, millions of dollars. I'm not exaggerating that. If they did this right, mm-hmm. but they couldn't because I don't like that CM Punk. He made me give me a dirty look backstage and he told me not to use real glass. And are you kidding me? Like, in any element, in any context, the minute Jungle Jerkoff Perry on that pay-per-view said, cry me a river, real glass, then, like, it takes every wrestling fan that supports that for whatever reason, you're a clown. Because you immediately are taken out of the element of him just admitting to you, the person that paid for that pay-per-view, by the way, yes, we organized this car being here tonight, and we organized this being real glass so my mark ass could seem tougher than I really am by driving another wrestler through it. Aren't I tough? No, it's contrived. And you just told the audience it's contrived, Mark.
Agreed to 100%.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's just crazy. It's just like, how much of yourself are you willing to weaken to?
Oh, we got to answer Stellar Justin. Get Stellar Justin on here because I want to answer it.
Stellar Justin Lopez, $4.99. Thing he Jack should either have been fired or treated like Triple H after the curtain call. Once he returns, AEW logic, they'll give him the devil push.
Okay, I agree with the last sentence with AEW logic. I agree with that. However, are you kidding me? Okay, so what Triple H did that night? He was the fourth man, I would argue, in that group doing the, hey, guys, see you later on your way to WCW.
Fifth, sixth, right?
He was a low man on the totem pole. Six wasn't there that night. Pac wasn't there that night. But my point is, Jungle Jack Jerkoff is not even in the conversation with that kind of level. And more importantly, he should have been fired. That it should have been completely, if Tony had control of his company and he was watching this happen as he says he did while having headphones on and producing the show and all that other stuff, Vince, you think Vince wouldn't have jumped out of a seat and go, what the hell are you guys doing? Of course he would.
Yeah.
Of course he would. He's done it many a times at his very old age. Even he did that. Where were you, Tony? Be a leader. I'm begging you.
Well,
for my friends, listen to me, for my friends who have jobs in the future and currently they're right now, I am begging you. Take ownership of that company. Don't put the onus on Brian Danielson. Don't put the onus on other people. It's your money, your dollars, your company. What you say goes. You've got to start acting that way, please, for your future. I'm begging you.
Yeah. I mean, well, in fairness, Raj, do you remember this? Search the database of a brain of yours. When the Usos and the New Day had that freestyle battle back in 2016.
Mm-hmm. And they brought up the DUI.
Yeah, no. The Usos brought up Xavier Woods getting X-rated. In a reference to that hack that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like, did they get any heat for that? Did producers clear that? Like, that was similar to what Jack did.
No way.
Jack didn't get it approved.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying, but did the Usos get that approved? Because that seems like WWE would have been thrilled.
I'll give you the spoiler.
Yeah.
The Usos, like best friends on the planet, is New Day in real life.
Yeah, no, I get that.
So trust me, they went through that. That was going to come up. I promise you, he knew that was coming, Xavier. I got my house on it. He knew it. Whether he says it or not, I know it. With that said, that's still very different than this.
No, I'm just thinking. I know. I'm just thinking out loud.
Again, I go back to me being on the like Super Show of Raw versus SmackDown. Hogan's back, and I just start shooting on Hulk Hogan when I'm like supposed to be cutting a promo in the middle of my match. Are you kidding me? Vince would friggin' kick me in the nuts, punch me in the face, and go, by the way, you're fired.
Yeah, it's a little Daniel Pewter of just like going into business for yourself unscripted.
Yes.
And I can't say I know this, but I'm assuming that the Dominic stuff with CM Punk was pre-approved. Mm. And if it wasn't, Punk has replied to it, and knows he's in a different ballgame. So either way.
I think it was. I'll be honest. I think it absolutely was. And because Dom grew up in the business as a little boy, growing up and his dad bringing him along the right way, I'll guarantee it was approved.
Yeah.
I think 2K Universe Elite.
Yeah.
Saying WWE loaded with star power right now. Thoughts? Oh, I mean, it's the reason why I think Mercedes is going to end up back there.
Raj, I was agreeing with Raj the other day when he said, have you ever seen this many baby faces, like believable baby faces in WWE? And I got to be honest, no. Not since I was a kid, if I'm being really real about it.
I mean, just starting from the bottom, I mean, you got LA Knight, Randy Orton. Seth Rollins, Cody Rhodes,
Cody, Sami
Zayn,
Uso.
I mean Jey Uso. Jey Uso, people that are just at the top. Maybe they couldn't headline a pay per view on their own. I mean, that's a different level. That's Cody, Roman, Punk, Rollins, Brock. You know, there's a handful of guys that are
time out. You guys are, you see this comment, you know, I ain't letting it slip. Stomach Waters, wrong show, brother. Open quote, Matt Morgan sounds like Dave Meltzer. I sure as shit don't sound like Dave Meltzer because I'm not freaking jobbing for AEW and slobbing all over them and putting over every single thing that they do, even when it's not good, and pretend it's awesome. That's the difference right there. Feel free to screenshot that. Go back down a little bit. I lost it. Damn it. How do I go back down? Hang on, I'll find it. Hang on. It's just one comment. Hey guys, stop for a second. All right, Sunlit Waters.
Fuck, dude.
Come on, Sunlit. That homeboy gives them 5-star matches for like things that are like AEW dark. Let's settle down.
Bigfoot Sneaker at $4.99. Do you think WWE will hire Jack and start a feud with CM Punk? I believe Triple H would do that story justice.
Tremendous for that comment, whoever wrote that. That's tremendous.
Super chat of the night, Bigfoot Sneakerhead.
No.
There's a dude that does the stupid thing. Stuff oh like my that.
God, man. Can I bring up some stuff?
Between us.
No one else is listening, right? Yes. So Dave, oh my God, he has just gone over just the edge. Like,
coward.
Keep going.
This is between us. We got to make sure no one else hears about this. So Dave brought up how NXT has had the same amount of ROH title defenses as on AEW TV, right? Which that is not the case. There has been maybe one or two at most. So the criticism is that there are way too many title defenses on AEW TV, and ROH's titles are being all over the place. And Dave Meltzer's response has been that, oh well, NXT does it too. So
he thinks NXT as well, like oversaturate their title shots and title contention matches and title switches too, or no?
He's saying that AEW also NXT also does title defenses, but if you actually look at it, they've done two over the past year, whereas ROH title defenses on AEW TV have been all over the place. So it's been
I got you.
False equivalency.
Again, he's like, Dave killed his own credibility with how he treats AEW, and it sucks because I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a fan myself before I got in the business and learned I freaking learned what the word kayfabe meant from the newsletter before I became a wrestler myself, right? So I hate saying any of that, but it's true. He's a huge fanboy for that company, and without question favors them and how he reports on them, from what I've been able to see at least.
Yeah.
Same with Alvarez too. Alvarez even more so, by the way.
Yeah. I have a criticism of NXT. I don't know if you guys have heard about this.
I don't watch.
What time out? Where would I hear about this?
People were talking about this last night after NXT went off the air. They're talking about today. Shot this last week. But Matt, I want to get your take on this. Ridge Holland had an unfortunate in-ring accident where Big E suffered and has been out. Big E's likely never gonna wrestle again. Mm-hmm. Ridge also had an in-ring injury that happened with Elton Prince, Pretty Deadly. Now he's back from that injury, but Ridge went to NXT last night and in a very reality blurring storyline went to Ilya Dragunov, the NXT champion, and said, I want a title shot. I am here in NXT to redeem myself. I believe I am cursed. I have this terrible luck. I need a rebirth in NXT. Will you give me a title shot? Ilya Dragunov, who is a heel champion, gives Ridge this shot. And after the DDT, they do an injury angle, and Ilya sold his ass off, got stretchered out. Ridge is on there clearly reliving some of the worst moments of his life in reality for this kayfabe story. And a lot of people, myself included, think this is very insensitive, making this an angle. And
so here's what I'll say
for storyline purposes.
If I could give perspective working for that company, that no way, shape, or form is approved without, in my opinion, Big E's approval and others' approval before moving forward with something like that, because that company is, especially today's day and age, is incredibly sensitive to things like that. I'd be surprised if it wasn't approved by everybody that needs to approve it, but most importantly, the talents in which had gotten hurt from him. I'd be surprised.
I just think it's different when Nia and Becky have their interaction and Becky gets the bloody nose and then becomes a meme and goes on to the stratosphere. Then for Becky to say like the best thing, you know, that you're ever going to be known for is breaking the nose of a legend. But
that was good. That was
when
good.
Samoa Joe and Tyson Kidd happened from the Muscle Buster, Samoa Joe didn't go on TV and say, you know, I end careers.
That's a good point.
You know,
I think it's to ask you a question. Do we think it's really Ridge Holland's call where he's like, no. Hey, you know, it'll be cool. I'm going to be shoot Ridge Holland.
That makes it worse, man. And if you watch this, I'm going to tell you, if you watched this last night, one, Ilya sold this. So the word is at this taping, they sold this so well, they had to kind of come out after before the next show and be like, okay, so that episode's wrapped up. Now we're on to, I mean, they had to kind of let the audience know this was a work.
They did that with Kyle O'Reilly too.
Okay. I mean, no disrespect to the subject, but I don't think our viewers really care. I'm just being honest. I, as much as the other stuff we're talking, I think that there's no way, but to answer your question, there's no way he's doing those without approval.
No, of course. And
if you think it's in poor taste, then it's from the company itself.
Yeah, it's just a rare miss because the NXT normally is very good.
But I want to be clear. Don't be taking it out on Ridge Holland to fans might be doing that, because you can't go into business for yourself with WWE, especially in his position. There's okay. None of that.
And the outrage is because it's similar to the Big E thing, right?
Well, it's exploiting that situation. And I'm telling you, if you were to watch this, Amanda, I know you don't watch NXT.
I have to watch it. I have to be fair.
But if you watch, when Ilya sold this so well, see, I thought, and Issa and I were talking about this last night on that other podcast we do.
Nobody cares.
If
everybody beat them in the ratings.
Okay.
Every week.
Good that Lord. Jay Brown website, but continue.
Okay. If Ilya had done this for 60 seconds and then Ridge looked distraught and then Ilya popped up and pinned him because he's a heel and was like, ha, gotcha, sucker. You're awful. Like, that would have been That would have been like, oh, fun. It's a story. That was, he's a shitty heel. That was a shitty twist, but it makes sense. But the fact that this is so real, and if you look at Ridge, who's gone through this in real life, having to recreate it, it was just very fucking uncomfortable to watch. And it's rare that I say that about wrestling.
Then I have to watch it to give proper context. I apologize. Yes. I need to watch it.
Yes.
I feel like, you know, NXT is, you know, low rent.
Low rent?
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, did we read Bigfoot Sneakerhead's comment about signing Jack Perry? We did, right?
Yeah, we did.
Sorry.
Anyhow.
Okay, not what do you want to... But, you know, it's not...
It's a lower profile. Hey, they just got all that money from the CW, you know? They're going to be on the same network that Riverdale was on next year. The same network that brought you Arrow.
Oh, and you overrated Poker Face. You guys made me watch that. And
you didn't
it. I watched it back to back to back to back to back. I freaking binge watched it.
And you didn't like it?
It's okay. It wasn't what y'all made it to be.
I said it's like Columbo. It's just a fun little TV show.
It's a little stretch, though. She just magically finds herself into these crazy scenarios.
Because that's what makes it a TV show.
Okay, fine.
It's like Reacher. Reacher doesn't show you the episodes where nothing happens to Reacher, and he just hitchhikes from town to town listening to blues music. No, he gets into fights. And before the fight happens, he tells the bad guy, this is what's going to happen. Right. And then it happens.
One more thing.
I thought I was sitting on another, like, golden show here by you guys.
It's a fun show. Have you watched Reacher yet, Matt?
Mm-mm.
Well, then you like the show. This guy that's playing Reacher is very good. There's no Tom Cruise. Jack? This guy's, yeah, he's huge. Jack? He is huge. Okay,
that's good.
You know, people say, never mind. Okay, but Raj, what do you got? Raj?
Potentially we could look back on this being a huge deal, or it means nothing. But Paramount and WBD are in the process of merging. So it came out today. If that were to happen, who knows? You know, like, are they more inclined to bring on the A show? Are they more inclined to cut spending? You know, like it.
Yeah.
That means HBO and Showtime are going to be owned by the same company.
Yeah.
Wait, so, okay, time out. Fix that 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon for me. Go.
Paramount owns Showtime. In fact, now Paramount Plus, Showtime is just being discontinued. There's no Showtime streaming anymore. Now it's called Paramount Plus with Showtime. Like, they have all the content, whether it's Yellow Jackets or Yellowstone. It's all on the Paramount Plus app.
Yeah.
New world, Raj.
Yes, for kids of our age and our generation, HBO and Showtime, that was the Marvel and DC, the WWE and WCW. Like, HBO and Showtime would be in the same corporate umbrella. That's huge.
And they've already dropped Showtime Sports.
Yeah.
So it's not a far stretch.
Wow.
Raw's ending up on FX.
Let's hope for AEW's sake and wrestling's sake, in my opinion. Please, let's hope that's what happens.
But are they picking up AEW?
I think so.
Definitely.
Why?
Because they just, didn't you hear Tony Khan's tweets? In case you didn't hear it, they won Monday. They won Wednesday night ratings. They were the highest rated show.
Raj, we're justified.
Hang on. Hashtag in the demo. Hashtag in the demo, Raj. But for real, I'm clowning them, but in the same token, the business needs them to exist and on a major network. I don't want to see them go anywhere. I do not.
Yeah.
But let me give you an example, because this is stuff that's not on your radar. Paramount Plus spent like $100 million to make a series about the making of The Godfather. And dramatized. Oh, it's a very good show.
Say Yellowstone for a second.
No. This year's called The Offer, and it's all about the making of The Godfather. They spent $100 million to make a series that's a prequel to Grease. That sure. I was like, me and three other people watched. They made a reimagining of Fatal Attraction. Spending $40 million a year for AEW TV is a bargain and guaranteed to get an audience unlike this other shit they're doing Glenn, that nobody but me is watching.
Glenn, what do you think advertisers are more willing to spend money on? Like, where are they thinking that their advertising dollars are actually getting the bang for their buck? There is a reason why wrestling has always underperformed with advertising.
There is, but for subscription streaming services, though,
yeah.
If you combine Paramount Plus, HBO Max, if you merge that into one app, you know, and having AEW, the complete library, and Ring of Honor on there, you know, they just continue on.
Means nothing.
I know, but it's content, dude. It's content.
No, it isn't. You have to have content that people actually care about.
I don't know.
What? You're saying that you can... We could just put our podcast on there. We're like, hey, it's content.
Work that deal. You know some people. Yeah. You know?
No, it's not content. It's people that are actually... And Netflix actually, just a couple of weeks ago, they put out like how many
watch hours
people are watching. Yeah.
But the pay-per-views. If they do one a month.
Who?
If AEW takes one monthly pay-per-views and puts them included with your HBO Max Paramount Plus subscription,
sure.
You know, that sells subs.
You're looking at 100,000. First of all, that's what AEW is currently doing. And that's not accounting for how many people already have Max.
Hmm.
And so you discount that, say maybe 60,000. Is that how much is that worth? 60,000.
I mean, then Tony Khan's in trouble, man. Because if he can't get something for this, it ain't gonna be good. What did WWE get for Peacock? And they shuttered the network. WWE Network had like 1.7 million subscribers. They shut that down for Peacock.
Sure, because they had the monthly pay per views.
Yeah.
Without the monthly pay per views, it's kind of worthless, you know, because. People will go watch a Saturday night's main event and then they're done. It's the live sports is what is the draw with UFC, with everything. And ROH is going to mean jack shit. That library means nothing. Really, honestly.
It would have. Okay, so I get in the beginning why it would make sense for Punk, Joe, Daniel Bryan to have those videos of them when they were younger. Like, it was cool to see the Punk and Joe stuff, if you guys remember, leading up to Wembley. I thought that was cool. Right. Now they have the rights to do it. That's all it's worth, though. That's really legit all it's worth.
What about the sentimental value? I mean, Matt, did you ever track down that video of you wrestling in a warehouse?
Oh, my God, with that independent guy? Like, yeah.
You'd probably pay $1,000 to make sure that doesn't see the light of day.
Something tells me Robbie would have it. Yeah. I have a feeling Robbie would have that because he hadn't made it yet to television. And he was still on it. Rob Echoes was his name at the time.
Yeah.
But anyways, what are saucy subjects do we have?
Hold on. Cover?
Anything else that I'm missing?
We got another super chat. Mm-hmm. 2K Universe Elite saying Tony's just using the Ring of Honor women's TV title to position his shows to get a better TV deal, not focusing on the women. It's absolute garbage.
Wait, dummy that down. What does he mean by that?
He says he's elevating the title to give them another title, but it's not really doing something to elevate the women's division.
So
he's just using the title for another title.
If you say the word Ring of Honor and AEW, the only storyline on YouTube, at least, that I have been following has been the women's heavyweight title and the storyline that they've been doing with it, with their champion and her minions in training and things like that. I mean, but that's about it. That's all I can really speak on is what I've seen on YouTube from it.
Yeah. Sunlit Waters wants to know if you have any backstage fight stories.
Yes. You ain't getting them tonight, though. Well, that will be its own podcast, trust me.
What else we got, Raj? What else, Raj, is irking you after you have a few drinks?
Comments. I've been to this. I'm not kidding, Mike. This Xfinity upgrade has been complete shit. I'm undoing it tomorrow.
When did you get it?
Just like 5 hours ago.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You're clear, though. Your picture's very clear. Your phone's good.
Phone.
Ah.
You're using your phone?
Yeah.
Wow, that's way better than my phone and my truck was at the time back in the day. Right, Glenn? Am I lying?
Yeah,
that's way better.
I always enjoyed that though, and then we get to hear from your neighbors. You know,
you
have
to, like, say that. Out. You guys say fun. That, but then when I'd watch the show back, it'd be like, John Cena.
So let's give people some recommendations. It's the holiday season. You're going to be hanging out with your family. People are going to try and watch Christmas Vacation, which Raj says is the best part three of any movie series ever, except for Rocky III.
Best Christmas movie ever. What do you guys think?
Best ever? I mean, that's...
Christmas movie ever.
Christmas movie ever? Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
And Die Hard, I guess, you know.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And good old Frosty the Snowman for me. Claymation versions, yes.
Oh, my God. That scared me.
Okay. Little kid stuff, I agree, but I still love it.
And he melts at the end. It's kind of like, fuck, Jesus Christ.
That was sad when I was a kid. You're not wrong.
The Charlie Brown Christmas special is always good.
There you go. Okay.
But I'm going to say, if you're a Die Hard fan and you watch that on Christmas and you want something else kind of like Die Hard for a Christmas action movie, I forgot about this.
What's it called?
Fucking Reindeer Games is the movie for you.
Ben
Affleck takes place at Christmas. He gets out of prison. He assumes the identity of his cellmate to hook up with a girl. It turns out her brother wants him to help rob a casino on Christmas. They're dressed as Santa Claus. Like, that is a solid movie.
Okay.
That's a solid Christmas film.
Matt.
It's not a Christmas movie, but still.
Well, okay, the main character's name is Nick, and the other one's name is Rudy. How much more Christmassy can you get than that?
Matt, Glenn, come on. There's no...
They're dressed as Santa Claus robbing a casino, and all Ben Affleck wants to do is get home to have some hot cocoa and pecan pie.
What will it take for you to watch a movie that just makes you feel good? Like, have your family on the couch all watching a movie together. Like, I love Chris. This is a great Christmas celebration. I love you, family. Why can't you watch a movie like that, Glenn?
We do. We watch About a Boy, which ends at Christmas.
Oh, God.
I get all misty-eyed. Do you guys ever do that? You guys don't get misty-eyed during movies. Matt, you're too manly.
Yes, I do. I swear to God. Of course I do.
Do you? Okay, so what I do, because my wife gives me a hard time, I, put my hood up on the couch, and I sit back like this. When I start tearing up at the end of a film because I don't want her to see. But yeah, there's quite a few movies of that.
All right, real quick. What's the worst you've ever cried in front of your wife, girlfriend, during a movie?
During
first year dating her while I was in college, still in Hawaii, in our dorm room, watching movies back when VHS tapes were a thing. What Dreams May Come. I bawled.
Yeah.
Bawled.
I watched About Time, the one where the kid can time travel through his life and scores Rachel McAdams and he misses his dad. I got ugly, and I'm not even close to my father. I ugly cried at the end of that movie. That movie was very tearjerker. Very good, though.
I cried in that, too.
Yeah, that's a good Christmas one, even though it's not Christmas. I mean, the parts of it are the holidays, that's a good movie to watch with family.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's well done. I know, Raj, what about you? What makes you bawl?
I don't cry.
Listen to Cool for School. I will not believe that until Mrs. Raj comes on our podcast and we'll confirm that.
And she's going to be like, at the end of Titanic, when Rose is saying never let go, Raj was losing it.
I did have a tear drop during Titanic. And
speaking of which, The Abyss just came out on 4K with the director's cut. That is that is the most underrated James Cameron movie.
Never seen it.
Really? That's a good. I mean, it's aliens underwater, but that's a good movie.
What does that mean? Nikita Lyons' whole bakery is back in NXT. What does that mean?
Use your imagination.
Okay.
I'll explain off the air.
Yeah, I don't get it either.
Terminator 2, the thumbs up as he melts you.
All the time, I'm like, oh, this was nice. And I was like, oh, you know what that means? That means you're going to grab it. It's like, shit. No, I didn't know that.
No, I'm old. I have no idea what that meant. This podcast.
wait, I'm taking shots against WWE.
What?
I'm the only NXT fan on this podcast. like dedicated to SmackDown and NXT, but yes, I'm taking aggravated shots against WWE. Fuck off.
He never does. You watched our show besides tonight? Not even tonight did he do it. Come on, dude. Get real. And by the way, we don't react to people's like comments, shit, and hating on it. If you don't like it, keep it moving.
It's just funny though, because I feel bad because I'm rooting for AEW, which is why I get frustrated more when they screw up.
We need them.
I know, like, you do. And it's made WWE better.
Do. It has made them step their game up. There's no question. I will argue that to my grave. WWE got better because AEW did come around. People can say what they want. That's my belief.
But yeah. Can you answer this too? Has not the overall vibe shifted since Cody left? It feels like they were on the upswing.
Okay, I'll give you your answer to that really quick. Left. They were when before they turned MJF babyface. Mm-hmm. Yes, but here's what people can argue with me: when they first turned him babyface, the hits they were getting on social media and YouTube with him and Adam forming as a team and being a good cop buddy film duo together in the beginning was super red hot. Say what you want; you may not like it, but it was super popular. It's drifted since then, and he needs to go back to being Dickie MJF again and shove it in everybody's face and making them like hate him again. Again, I cannot say it enough. He's my favorite character in wrestling. He really is.
And you know what? Heel is one of the best characters in wrestling. As a babyface, he's vanilla.
So
I'm holding out as his favorite. As his biggest mark. I'll say it right now. I'm holding out that carpet yank's coming. I'm praying for it.
Yeah,
I really am.
So here's the thing with Cody being the turning point. I truly think Cody, the Bucks, Jericho, Kenny, when the AEW started, they were like, "This is our wrestling company," and that was the spirit. And at some point, it was very clear, "This is Tony's wrestling company. Y'all just work here," and that became very clear. When Cody left and some of the stuff we've seen since then, the Bucks, Kenny, some of the key guys have influence, but this is not a meeting of the minds as much as it is fanboy Tony playing with his toys.
I mean, it will eventually fail if that's the case, because as much as Tony brags about playing online AOL chat rooms and fantasy booking back in the day, I'm gonna make fun of him for that. I'm just saying there's a world of a wide difference of doing that versus today's day and age, especially 2023, and captivating fans' attention. He thinks the route to doing that is providing 5-star wrestling matches inside the ring. Yes, to the is smark even a term nowadays, but the super wrestling fan that's going to watch wrestling no matter what's on every week, yes, you're making them happy. They're going to chant what you do and tell them to chant in the arenas, Tony, but you're not going to grow that audience, which is what your network wants you to do. You have to be able to listen to those that have been in this business, that have been in situations before. The fact that you're not listening, like you can crap on Chris Jericho as much as people may want. I would be talking to him the most out of anyone in that locker room, along with Adam Copeland, Christian as well, and others that have that level of experience and expertise to be able to, they've been there, they've done that, they've seen what came and went and was hot, especially in the Attitude Era, and they're going to know what's going to hit today. And people are like, oh, they're older now, they're not going to know what's going to hit today. Oh, Jericho's a leech and he's a vampire when it comes to younger talent. Okay, say what you will. The dude still has earned the respect to be able to you be picking his brain. Because guess what, folks? He knows 1,000 times more about this business than Tony Khan will ever know.
Yeah, it's true. AJ Styles is back. Showed up on SmackDown last week.
He looked jacked. I texted him. I'm like, dude, like you looked yoked. I've never seen you this yoked in all my years of knowing you. He looked really good.
Yeah. He looks great. His hair is as fabulous as ever.
It is, but look at—I mean, his physique. He looked a little fuller, more vascular, in his arm. Like I was really, because AJ was never really a full, like, on body guy. He was always super athletic.
Yeah.
Former gymnast, and very—he was always very lean and looked like an athlete. But he looked muscular and coming good. Back, which
an attack down at night.
Him and Orton must be in the same gym together.
Yes. We're training together, apparently. But no, he attacked LA Knight, which was surprising.
Which was very surprising. And I'm hopeful for that, because that will help LA Knight. If LA Knight can work in AJ Styles' match at Mania, that's going to help LA Knight.
All right, Matt. That's good.
What'd you say?
Let's do it.
What are you doing?
Where is my phone?
I wonder how Styles vs. Punk will go. Ooh, right, that's a good matchup. Wait, what do you think of that? Raj, what do you think of that matchup? Styles versus Punk.
Yeah.
There we go. All right, Matt.
What's up, brother?
Let's do it.
You're both going to take off your shirts and flex?
What are we doing?
I've been working out for 3 weeks straight.
Attaboy.
All right.
I'm proud of you. That's awesome, Raj.
All right, let's do it.
Matt, just tear the suit off.
There's a zipper involved.
Jesus Christ, Raj is getting interested in the
podcast. Glenn, stop him.
I mean, I'm morbidly curious to see where this is going.
Yeah.
So time out. So I compliment AJ Styles on being yoked, and you felt, look, go time out. Go back to that right bicep flex. Go back to it, Raj. Zoom over.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Go ahead, Raj.
Look at that hairy chest, you stallion.
No, look at the size of his bicep. Yeah. Raj, you look in good shape, brother. I mean, that's right. Serious.
That's right, motherfucker.
Good for you.
All right.
See that, folks? Keep it PG, somebody wrote. Raj, I'm being serious. I'm not blowing smoke.
Why is my video?
You are in good shape. He is in good shape.
Seriously, why is my video not coming up?
So, Fernando Perez, you don't think that he's putting protein, whey protein inside that wine tonight? Because I think he was. He looks pretty good to me. His biceps are looking full.
Getting vascular.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything else? Anything else you want to show the audience, Raj?
Don't you act that.
That's right.
Yeah, don't you wish you had the anonymous glasses now, Matt?
Inside biceps head isn't easier to do that one. Do that one, Raj, because you showed. I mean, serious. I'm not being a smart ass. No, the other way. There we go. Look at that. See the folks. I hope you can see it. There's a cut in there in the bottom. Good for you, Raj.
Yeah, there's a little bit.
Good for you, brother. For real. How much?
3 weeks.
That's good. Good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
anything
no.
else? What? Okay.
All right.
Look at
Raj's face. I can't get my shirt out.
Folks, you need this screen safe.
Raj is going to turn to Vince Russo and start doing this shirtless.
He did that. It was one of my first times being on one of Raj's guests on his podcast back in the day. And for whatever rhyme or reason, Vince took his shirt off. I think I was wearing like a muscle shirt because I just go back from the gym, to be fair to Vince. And he took his shirt off. I'm like, what am I supposed to do with this?
Yeah. You know, if you got it, flaunt it.
By the way,
Raj has it.
Yeah.
By the way, we have grown so much in the last 3 months, and we have all you guys to thank for it. And the likes and the
absolutely
subscriptions that you guys have done have helped us tremendously, to where originally when we started out, we didn't think, you know, we were like, hey, let's try it out for fun. We'll try it out. And now it's like, yeah, you know, like we're doing it and we have you guys to thank. So
absolutely. We appreciate you all. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we do.
Every week. And, you know, we have hundreds of you that actually like and subscribe, but we have thousands of you that are listening, and we're eternal grateful to all of you. So thank you.
And if you DM Raj, he will send you, he'll oil up and send you some pose down photos.
Nitpicks.
Somebody says, is Raj a subtle way of announcing his new OnlyFans account?
Oh, Lord.
Okay. Well, if there's nothing else, everyone else keeping their clothes on, we're good.
Can I say one last thing?
Yeah.
I just want to bring it up. I know we're closing, but I need to ask you guys this question because I read stuff online, and I don't know if it's true or not. It was because it's on Twitter. wrestling Twitter. I don't know what to believe or not sometimes. So is it true on the AEW video game that they called the F5 diverticulitis?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the announcer's like, oh my God, so-and-so just hit the diverticulitis. It's like, that's how it plays out?
No, it's named that in the moveset creator.
So
it's
when,
in there. It's
so
not a commentary.
It's not a commentary?
I don't believe so. I think AEW, if I'm recalling correctly, there's very little commentary on the AEW game.
I'm not going to get all corny and over exaggerate like a lot of wrestling fans and pundits do in today's day and age, right? To try to get clicks. My dad had that, right? And it was brutal.
Yeah.
It was the most pain I've ever seen my dad in. It's the first time I've seen him cry in my life. And brutal. And I've seen others go through it as well. It's very serious. It's not fun. It's as painful as it gets.
Yeah.
Many times people have to have part of their insides cut out to be able to make do with it. And to make a laugh at that is super corny. And it says a lot about whoever the hell made that decision.
No, I know. It's the game is weird. You haven't played Fight Forever yet?
No.
You travel from city to city, and Matt, there's a lot that you would, I understand your issue with that. I think that's very valid, but there's a lot that I think you would bust on in that game. It's very much, you know, I could see where Kenny Omega is a fan of Japanese role-playing game and social simulator games. You pick your dietary preferences. You go from city to city, you go to restaurants. I kid you not. I posted some photos. Like, it shows the meal you're having at each place. And one's like avocado toast. Like vegan cheesesteak, like, and then people like Samoa Joe will come up to you and say, I see you're enjoying your vegan cheesesteak, but we need to talk about what's happening on Dynamite this week. It's crazy. It's like a wacky it's wacky even by wrestling game standards, but yeah, like the humor in it there. I mean, you could tell clearly somebody thought that was hilarious making that reference. But I think it's a lot of it is very much like specific people's sense of humor.
Just don't get like
Brock
in a Smart Mark's like favorite wrestler. Like, I don't understand why would like he's not the only one who's ever had diverticulitis.
I know.
That's crazy. Many of our family members have.
No, I know. I mean, it's
and it's, I'll have it one day, no question.
It's an odd choice, in questionable taste.
I don't know, but it is what it is. I just thought I'd bring that up because that was the last thing I saw on Twitter recently.
The game has Cody in it and CM Punk in it.
That is cool.
Yeah. It's a weird game. And I don't mean that to say that it's bad. If you're an AEW fan, like, I mean, it's fun, but the gameplay is very basic, but it's just going to be an interesting entry in the history of the very weird genre of wrestling games.
Didn't they try to like pattern it after like the most successful WWE game?
Yeah. From 23 years ago.
Still is the most successful. Oh, that's very exciting.
Yeah, like, it's, I mean, if you came out with a game today and you're like, this is modeled after Super Mario Brothers, it's the most successful game of all time. And you'd be point. Like, yeah, for 1985.
All right.
You know, you gotta.
Point. Yeah.
We've talked about this before because you check out Fortnite occasionally. Have you checked out Fortnite recently?
No.
Dude, it's four different games now when you load it up. They've got regular Fortnite, they've got Lego Fortnite.
Yeah.
Then they've got a racing game that's the Rocket League soccer cars, but doing in racetracks that you can race using your Fortnite character. And they've got a music game where it's like Guitar Hero, but you're playing you're doing it on your controller, playing the drums or bass or guitar. It's called Fortnite Festival. It's weird. Yeah, so when you load up Fortnite next time, it's four different games now you can choose.
So to be fair, when the original Fortnite came out, I'm like, this is a terrible game. Nobody's going to like this. I swear to God, that was my first opinion of it.
Yeah.
And it blew up.
Yes, it's crazy. So there you have it.
Graphics aren't important to youngsters like they were for us.
It looks better now. They gave it a refresh like a year ago. It does look better, but...
Okay.
I don't know. So everybody, Raj Xfinity got revenge on Raj. They said what he was putting out there with the shirt off was too hot for the internet, so they had to shut him down. But we'll be back next week sometime in the week between Christmas and New Year's. Hope everyone has a good holiday. Thank you so much for supporting us. Seriously, tonight was kind of crazy, even by our standards.
Yes.
I'm going to explain that reference earlier to Matt when we get off the air. And everybody have a great holiday. We'll catch you back here next time on Gigantic Pop. Take care.